Hello, my beautifuls. Hello, hello. Welcome. I first just want to say thank you for letting me reschedule. I'm here in Hawaii with my gorgeous son, who is qualifying for a PGA tournament. He just played, he qualified. So now we're staying until Monday for his next round of qualifiers. So I definitely had to be there to watch him play. That's why I couldn't be with you at our regular scheduled time, but I'm here now. And I'm really excited to talk to you today about this concept of living from the future. So let me make sure you guys are hearing me. Okay, good. It's actually Christian. So Christian is my guy that is the golfer, and he shot a 68. So I think he took 10th in the tournament. And so now he has to play against, I think they pick 4 people out of 70 to go on to the event. So if he makes it, it's a pretty big deal around here. And there's like 10 of us here watching him. So we're having a great time. But today's a rest day for him. So I'm able to be here and teach. I don't usually work on a Friday, but I'm here to be able to teach. And I've been talking a lot about this concept of living from the future, right? I've been talking a lot on the podcast, in my teaching, in presentations, in the What's Possible book, of living from the future. And the idea is that we decide what we want our future to be, and then we decide who we have to be as a person to live that life. And then we start living as if we are that person. Now, a lot of times that can be confused with spending like we're already that person, spending our money as if we have more money than we do. So I just want to clear it up that we are not spending our money like we're already rich if we're not. That is not what living from your future is. I'm not a proponent of buying stuff you can't afford in order to be rich. That is the opposite of what I want to teach you. So what you will realize when you really do this work is, once you start thinking about who would I need to become to make $1 million? Let's say it's $1 million that you want to make. Well, who would I need to become? What you realize is that once you have that money, you don't feel a need to spend money that you don't have. It's the craziest thing how much less money I spend on things than I used to when I had less money. And so you have to remember that when you have a lot of money, you don't buy things you can't afford. Now, the truth is you can afford more things, but you don't necessarily need to buy them. And I'm going to take you through a way of kind of understanding how to know when you're in that space of kind of buying beyond your own means and why that doesn't work. Okay, we're going to talk about that today. And I want to talk about this book. My friend Alex Hormozi recommended this book, and I've been listening to it while I'm here in Hawaii, and it's made me think a lot about this course and made me think a lot about y'all. And the concept is, the book is called Die with Zero. And he talks about how we should understand what our lifespan is. Basically, we should understand like what that final sprint of our life is from now until we die, and to plan according to that money being gone when we're dead. I was like, whoa, that's crazy, right? Because the way that we're trained to think about money is save your money, build up a big, at least this is how I was trained, and I know many of you were, save up a big, huge retirement, live on that, and then leave a lot of money to your children. And his concept is kind of like understanding that your final act, basically after retirement, is not just to live on the income of your nest egg, but to actually spend it. And one of the concepts that he talks about there a lot is, instead of waiting until you're dead to give your money away, to give kind of your income away, give it away while you're alive so you can help like your kids understand money. You can see them enjoying the money. They usually need more money when they're young than when they're older and successful themselves. And it has me thinking so much about this concept, right? Which is, if you anticipate, so he basically has you figuring out, like, based on insurance, you know, like if you go to get life insurance, they will try to figure out your life expectancy. So based on kind of the insurance programs that they use to figure out like how old you're going to be when you die, figure that out and then kind of anticipate how much time you have left and what you want to do with that time. And he said a lot of people don't want to do it because they find it kind of morbid. They kind of find it kind of depressing to be thinking about your death while you're still alive. And he really kind of blew my mind with the idea that if we start understanding how much of our life we have left, we will appreciate each season much more because we'll recognize I don't have that many more of these. Now, for me, I like to think about it is that I'm halfway through my life. So I'm 50 years old and I like to think that I'll live to 100. Okay. So that's the number that I picked. I think originally I picked 92 for some random reason, but now I've picked 100. So I have 50 more years of my life and I have a certain amount of money that I already have and a certain amount of money that I want to create. And how I want to be when I have that money, and we've talked a lot about that in this class, what it's like to have money, to spend money and to earn money. And one of the things he recommends is kind of planning your spending. So when you're done with your life, you have no money. So you give your money away to your children. You give away your inheritance. You give away money to charity. You do that all while you're alive. So that's kind of this, it's kind of really impacting my thinking as I teach this class to you today. So I want to recommend for those of you who want to check out this book. I'm not completely done with it, but it's really got me thinking, Die with Zero. So when I think about my future self, and this is a process that I went through before I had the money that I do now, when I was thinking about when I had $1 million and I was thinking about who I would be with $10 million, what I realized is that I was not being the woman that I would be when I was earning $10 million. And I started to then become that woman, to be that woman now, so I could create that energy, that attraction, that vibrancy, that vibration that would attract that reality. And so if you were on this class, I think it might have been last time I taught this, and someone had left a message and they're like, you were feeling like a $1 billion woman to me. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting, right? What does a $1 billion woman feel like, look like, act like? What does she do? How does she show up? What is her energy like? And of course, we get to decide what that means. It's not like all billionaire women are the same. That's not what we're saying at all. But what are the characteristics? What are the qualities that you will have in the future when you're earning the amount of money that you want to earn? And so as I think about myself and I think about maybe in the next 5 years, I will be a woman who makes $100 million in her business per year. And how can I be her now and live from that space now in order to create the vibration that attracts that reality? And I want you all to think about that. For whatever your number is, whatever your target is, and whoever you want to be, not necessarily become, but be now in order to create that reality around you. And where in your life aren't you doing that already? So you have to remember that the power of creation comes from the decisions you make. So what are the decisions that you aren't making now that you will be making when you've arrived? And many of you have heard me talk about this, but it's worth repeating. I was sitting at lunch with my girlfriend, Chris Plackey, and this was years ago. And I said, what does a woman who makes $5 million a year do that I'm not doing? And I remember being like profoundly aware that she probably wasn't drinking a bottle of Chardonnay every night. I was like, it was like astounding. I'm like, she's probably not doing that. She's probably not sitting around complaining that she doesn't have money. She's probably not wasting a lot of her time. And I started really seeing the difference between who I am in the moment versus who I have the capacity to be and become already within me. And I just needed to align my mindset, my feelings, and my actions up with the highest version of myself. So here's the process you can go through, all of you can go through as we move through this class. I want you to think about the following things. When you think about your future and who you are, I want you to, and who you are in that future, I want you to, in some ways, identify your future self, your present self, and your past self separately. Now, the truth is they're not separate. They're all the same you, right? Your past self, your present self, and your future self are all mental constructs that make up who you are. And that's kind of a trip to think about, but it's really an important concept to grasp. Who you are right now and how you view yourself is determined by how you think about your present self, how you think about your past self, and how you think about your future self. That is your entire relationship with yourself. There is no independent present you that isn't created by your thoughts about your past, present, and future. And we often think, oh, all of our past is just our thoughts and all of our future is just our thoughts. And then there's me now. That's not how it works. Your you now is determined and created in each minute by how you think about yourself in relation to time. So the way you view your past self and the way you view your present self creates the identity of your present self and how much money you make. So when we leverage the thinking of the past, present, and future, when we can leverage our thinking of those things, of those concepts, of those time constructs, we can create the feeling and the action and the vibration and ultimately the results and the reality that we want to create in our life. One of the highest leverage tools that you have is your future self. And this is one of the most underutilized money-making concepts in the world. And so I want you to really think about your future self as a mentor. She or he or they have already created the future that you want. That is a resource for you. And that resource is you. So here's how I do it. And the concept is more easily captured. I think like it's easier to wrap your mind around it when you think about your past self who may have made less money than you. And I want you to think about your past self. Maybe when you were 16 years old, your past self, what would you tell her? what would you tell him? What would you tell them about how to get here? What advice would you give them? What direction would you give them? What would you offer them to make that journey, to close that journey? It seems pretty easy. And mostly it's like, girl, don't freak out. Don't be anxious. Keep reading those books. Keep studying. Stay patient. Believe in yourself. You really do get here. Stop doubting. There's no reason to doubt because you do get here. You get to the place where you're making $50 million. And when I explore that relationship between who I am now and my past self and the things that I say, I learn how to communicate to my past self. And so then when I'm having a relationship, when I'm having a conversation with my future self, it's easier for me to have that two-way conversation because I am my future self speaking to my present self. So when I access the wisdom of my future self, she says very similar things. Girl, don't worry. You get here. You're at 100 million before you know it. Keep studying, keep talking to yourself, keep focusing, keep doing models, like all the things that I want and need to keep doing. And also, I evaluate the difference between me and my past self, and I evaluate the difference between me and my future self. And here's what I've noticed. My future self is just much more calm. She's much more assured. She's much more kind of amused by all of it. And I feel that now. Like, I feel this crazy sense of peace that we can, now that I've made $50 million, that we can truly create everything we want in our lives in the way that we want them. And so when I relate to my future self and when I communicate to my future self, I access a part of me that has already created the future that I want. So I definitely need you to spend as much time as you can having that conversation and being your future self, giving your present self advice. Now, as you embody that future self who has already created what you want to create, you will generate emotion, you will generate cognitive function, you will generate energy to do things that you literally aren't even capable of doing yet. It's the coolest stuff ever. And it's the only way that I know to overcome current programming and socialization from the world around you is by accessing the highest version of yourself. Now, think about how crazy this is. So often we want to access other people in the world. We want to access people that are richer than us, people that are smarter than us, coaches, advisors, mentors, right? And we should, absolutely should. We should read their books and listen to their podcasts and do all the things that they teach us. For sure, I do all the time. But we miss out on the part that is completely customized to us when we don't access our future self that is us. And you may say, that's weird. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to say to myself. And that's okay. But you need to learn how to live from that future place by being the woman who's already there, by being the man that is already there, by being the person that is already there. You will generate a new sensation, a new emotion, a new activity within your own self. It is powerful. So here's what I want you to think about. Let's talk about how to spend now knowing about our future self. How do we know if we're spending money that makes sense for our present self, for our future self? And here are some questions that you can ask yourself. The first one is, what, and this is such a good question. You should always ask yourself this when you're spending money. What is the emotion fueling the purchase, fueling the spending? Now, if you think about the model, spending goes in that A line, okay, the action line. So what is the emotion that you're generating, right, that is causing you to spend the money. You will be so surprised by how much spending comes from insecurity, anxiety, frustration, and fear. And when we spend money from that place, we are not being our future selves. We are not aligned with the place where we want to go. We are aligned with our doubt, with our fear, with our insecurity, with our frustration that doesn't believe in a future that is so much bigger than us. Okay. So question number one, what is the emotion fueling the spending? Now, think about what it is you want to buy. And this is a very good exercise to do when you're thinking about how much you will purchase, what you will purchase when you have the amount of money that you want to have. Okay. So when I think about at $100 million, what is it I want to buy? And you know what's so crazy about that for me is like nothing really new. Like I thought I wanted to buy a jet and I was going to buy a jet. And we had all the money ready for the jet and we went through the whole due diligence of the jet. And by the time my team came back to me with all the numbers, I was very disappointed to realize that the numbers didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense for me to buy a jet. And so I decided not to, which was such a bummer. But what I felt was, what is the emotion that's wanting me to buy this jet, right? Was excitement and delight. When I actually had all the information about it, all of that emotion was gone because it didn't make sense. So when I think about myself at $100 million, it still probably won't make sense for me based on my financial goals and how much I fly and what I do, right? And so I was able to live from my future self, even though my future self has so much more money than me, I was able to make that decision from here, from this space. So should I be buying something that costs me $100 million right now? Because I know that I will have $100 million. Sometimes the answer is yes. And this is what's so interesting about that is when you understand the difference between investing in your future and investing in your belief in yourself versus spending money at your own expense, you start making choices from that future self. I'll give you an example. One of my students, Stacey Bayman, when she was barely making 1 million, I think it was. Maybe she wasn't even at a million yet. I remember she was thinking about buying a house and she didn't have the money, couldn't quite afford it yet. It was going to stretch her. And I remember her saying like, I don't know if I should buy this house. You know, I'm kind of freaked out about it. I don't know if I have enough money. I don't know. And I remember wondering if she should buy the house too. I'll never forget this conversation. And I thought about it and I thought, okay, wait, if we believe for sure she's going to have this amount of money and we believe in her goal that she's setting this, then buying this house is a no-brainer because it's an investment. And that is a huge differentiator when you're choosing to spend from your future. So ask yourself this question. Is this an investment that will appreciate? Or is this an expense that will depreciate? And will my future self, here's a great way of knowing this, will my future self in 5 years be glad that I purchased this now? Because when I look back at the investments that I have made into my business and into my brain and into my training, my future self is always stoked, right? When I look back, I am so happy. I'm my future self now, right? Mentoring my past self. And when I look back on my past self, the investments that I made into my brain and into my training and into my business and into homes that were appreciating assets, I am stoked that I spent the money when I did. Now, when I look at things that I bought, like you know, clothes or cars or, you know, jewelry or furniture or whatever like that. It's not the same for me, especially if I overspent money that I shouldn't have based on my income, right? That's a regrettable expense in that sense. So think about this. What is the emotion fueling this purchase? And will my future self in 5 years be glad that I purchased this, be glad that I invested in this? And I'll tell you, anytime I've invested in a training, it's like pouring information, pouring content, pouring knowledge and skill into my brain that will repeatedly provide me with returns on that investment forever. I'm always thankful. I am so thankful for the training that I have given myself in terms of marketing and the money that I have spent in learning how to market. The other thing that I'm always appreciative of having spent money on, invested money in, is experiences with my family and my friends. And it talks about it in this book, Die with Zero. Your experiences are constantly giving you a return on investment, not just from the experience that you had, but from the memories that you have, from the connections you create from those experiences. So when I look back on my past self, I'm so glad that she spent money, even though I have less money now than I would have had she not spent that money. I have more experience and more amazing memories and more connections with more friends and family because of those investments. I'm so thankful for them. So one of the ways that you know what to spend your money on when you are in this process of becoming rich is, would my future self want me to spend this money? Would my future self see this as an investment in my brain, in my memories, in my experiences, in an asset that will grow in value? What would and what is the emotion fueling it? Are you hooking, this question I wrote down is, are you hooking her up? Are you taking care of your dream? Are you taking care of your future self? So ask her, be like, yo, do you think we should buy this? Are you going to be glad that we have this 5 years from now? You'd be like, girl, thank you for buying this. Or should I spend it on this experience? Or should I buy this thing, right? It's just a good kind of advisor that you have in your life, like built in. What investments will prepare you for the future self that you are creating? And I will tell you, my biggest distinction that I have between 52 million and 100 million is the investment in my team, the investment in my business to grow my team, the personnel and the training that I need at the Life Coach School for my employees and the team that Erica is running. That is my main investment for my future self, who is already making $100 million. That's the advice that she's giving me, because I can't create that money without a team, without a really high functioning service team. And so it directs me, it guides me, it lets me know I'm on the right path. It brings me a sense of peace as I invest in those people and in that structure within my own business. I feel a complete sense of intelligence, of sophistication, of knowledge, and peace, knowing that I'm hooking her up, knowing that the work that I'm doing now to build that team will ultimately hook her up in her life. So that is how we live from our future without spending from our future. And think about this. There will come a time where you will have more money and you will want, let's say, when I have $100 million, what is it you most want to buy when you have that money? And why? What is it you most want to buy now? And why? Understanding your desire for things, for trainings, for, you know, knowledge, for experiences, understanding that is a true understanding of your past, present, and future self, your relationship with yourself. And the more you understand that, the more powerful your decisions will be. And when you have powerful decisions, you create results that are so extraordinary because you're able to see, by purchasing this now, in 5 years, my future self will be so much further along versus purchasing a bunch of things now that pull away from my future self. That is not to say that we should delay all of our gratification. That is not to say that we shouldn't enjoy our lives now, because remember, investing in those experiences, in the happiness, in our well-being will serve our future self. I have a lot of colleagues that I've talked about before, mostly men that I started in this industry with, that were really in that hustle culture, that were trying to outrun their own insecurity and try to outrun their own doubt in order to get to a place where they thought they would be rich and happy. And the truth is, it's not better there than here. It just isn't. It's different. It's better in some ways and it's worse in other ways. But if you understand that it's the journey, it's the experience, it's the evolvement, you don't wait to enjoy and have the pleasure and the rest and the experiences along the way. And whenever I feel, and you can relate to this, I'm sure, whenever I feel like, and somehow it's not happening fast enough and I need to hurry and I need to put pressure on myself, I know that I have lost the plot. I know that I've started to believe that there's some future state that's going to be better than this state here. When I have more money, I will be happier. I will, you know, have more and therefore be a happier person. Happiness doesn't come from money, my friends. Happiness comes from your mind. It doesn't mean we don't pursue more money, because that is one of the most magnificent opportunities, I think, in our lives. But just don't do it for the wrong reason, because if you're pursuing money at your own expense, meaning you're burning up your life in order to get money, you are never, ever going to evolve in the way that you could if you are pursuing money for your benefit as a human being, to grow and to give and to be alive right now in this moment. So the point of that book is really like, don't prolong it. Don't put off your pleasure now and save all your money and give it away when you die. The idea is to live the fullest version of yourself now, to access your full capacity. The easiest way I know of how to do that is to access that future self and to live from her advice, to live from her guidance, to live from who she is being, because that is you, and make decisions from that place. Who wants coaching? Who wants to talk about this concept? We can talk about, raise your hand if you want coaching. We can talk about any of the concepts that we've talked about throughout this entire course. So we've covered why everyone should try to get rich for their own personal growth, how your creative mind produces money in the world, 3 practices to uncover and change your beliefs around money, which were earning, spending, and saving, the highest leverage actions you need to be taking to create money, and then how to live but not spend from your future is what we did today. So I'm willing to coach you on any of those topics. The last class that we will be doing is called Scaling Through Upper Limit Issues, Imposter Syndrome, and Other People's Opinions. That is a huge topic that we'll be discussing next week. But I will coach you on anything you need on any of these topics right now. So just raise your hands. Let's see who we have. Oh, Betty has a really good question here. What if you don't trust yourself? I'm not sure I trust my present or my future self. That's interesting. Do you trust your past self? Trust is usually built over a relationship that you've developed with yourself. So if you haven't taken care of your past self, or if your past self hasn't taken care of you, very hard to have that trust with each other. So the way that you build trust is by telling the truth, by taking care of. So Betty, if you look at your past self and you think about, did she take care of me? And if the answer is no, she overate, she overdrank, she overspent, she didn't invest in her mind, she didn't invest in studying, she didn't take care of her emotional life, whatever, you may have trust issues. Like, you can't depend on yourself to take care of you. And so first and foremost, we need to rebuild that trust. And the way that we do it, it doesn't have to be taking care of our future self 5 years from now. It can be taking care of our future self 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now. How can you tell yourself you'll do something and then do it over and over and over and over again until you build up that trust with yourself, committing to that self? And then building that trust is how we do it. And it's just the discipline of loving yourself so hard that you never tell yourself you're going to do something and not do it. And you really work for yourself. I right now am working very hard for my future self. I cannot wait for her, for me, to have that day where she has accomplished the goal of making $100 million in a year. I also am taking care of her health. I'm also taking care of the relationships that she's going to have. I'm building, you know, wealth for her. I'm building homes for her. I'm building a life for her that she will enjoy when she's 55 and 60 and 70. I'm really thinking a lot about her, just like I thought about me when I was 40. Right? When I was 40 years old, I was thinking about me now. And I'm like, girl, you hooked me up. She took care of me. She built this life for me. And so I trust her and love her. And you can be sure I'm not going to let my future self down. So that trifecta of that relationship is so powerful, right? My past self serves my present self. My present self serves my future self and my past self, because the way I think about my past self with so much love, right, creates a relationship of love within myself. People ask all the time, how do I love myself? That is how. You take care of yourself. You treat yourself well. You tell yourself the truth. You view your past self with love and compassion and understanding. You view your present self that way and your future self. Okay. Let's go ahead with, let's try you, Melissa.
Hey.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. I love this concept, and I think it fits with what I wanted to ask coaching on, or at least through this lens, we can use it. Okay. So what happens for me, so I'll give you the lines. So I just had a break even year.
Okay.
I made 48K last year. I made 56K the year before.
Okay.
And I've been in business for 4 years. I'm a coach.
Okay.
I got my CCP this year.
Nice.
Amazing. Thank you. And so what happens for me, so what happened last year at the beginning of the year was I started to make my goal for the year, which was 112K. And I had a freak out and I spent money. Like, I'm typically a saver. I spent money, on CCP and on good thing, like things that I'm really happy that I invested in.
Okay.
But I really, I was, as you were sharing about the emotions, I know they were coming from that freak out. And like, I literally took myself back to the beginning. Like, I've already been coaching for 4 or 5 years and I was like, oh, I need to get certified. And it came from a much better place. And like you say about like the things that you tell yourself to like convince yourself that it's a good purchase. Yeah. So, and I believe that it was a good purchase. It was like the best way to learn about self-sabotage.
Right. As you were doing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was like this, thank you universe, right? Because it was like the best way. Because I've received so much from it, but, it really is that freak out. And now I've learned so much about goal setting. And I can see that this is something that's happened in the past for me. So that past self, where I get close to a goal and then I freak out, I have the freak out, and I just either shut down or something happens and I don't follow through. And so now when I'm kind of thinking about this year, I love the concept of like going for the million. Mm-hmm. But I think a part of me loves it because it's like easier in a way. Because I feel like it's easier because it feels like farther away.
Yeah.
But
what's wrong with it being easier?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it being easier. I think what
it's such a crazy concept. I feel like so many of us are locked into these worlds where it's like, oh, I want to make 50,000, 60,000, 70,000, 80,000. We don't even realize how hard that is to do that incremental improvement, right? And as soon as we blast that open, which is part of my job, I feel like, and say, what about a million? Mm-hmm. The expansiveness of our brain just explodes. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's been really cool to just watch it happen. And I think what it is letting go of the, like, what if I don't make it? Mm-hmm. But I think I'm getting more and more okay with that. Like but then I kind of worry that I'm like, oh,
but
am I not really
$1 million?
I learned along the way and I will grow and I'll do it next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I don't sit around, what if I don't make $100 million? Like, who cares?
Right.
I'm so much better for just having had the goal.
Yes. So how do you hold, I think this is my question, is like, how do you hold the goal and really hold it and like be honest with yourself about it, that you're going, like, I'm going for the million. Because there's this other, the other part of me that's like, but, well, first you have to do 100K or like, first you have to get here before you can get there. So don't think about the million, just think about the smaller goal first. For some reason, it's like, it feels like that's easier. But I don't think, from what you've been sharing, I don't think that's what you're saying. You're saying just think about the million all the time.
Well, it's not thinking about the million, right? It's living from the place of the million, being the woman that's already created that, living from that place, right? So when we get locked in, and this is the difference, it's the difference between the being and the energy and the wisdom from that space versus the how of how do we get stuff done. Right. The reason why so many people stay small is they stay way too stuck in what they're doing every single day and what they can do to create a little bit more of an improvement, instead of stepping back and being like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like all of human ingenuity. Okay. So if you think about human ingenuity, the way that like we get set up in life is like, this is how we do things. Like, we leave the cave, we go kill something, we bring it back, and then we eat it. And at some point through evolution, we're like, but wait, maybe there's a different way. Maybe we could do it this way. And that seems like so crazy. And oh my gosh. And then until we do it, and then that becomes normal. And then we're like, how were we ever, I literally think this, how did I ever live on $300,000 a year? Like, it makes no sense. But
I love you so much.
But at the time, that was what was. So if you get too caught up in, well, I don't want my goal to be too big because I need to handle this, I need to handle the cave, I can't be thinking about a house, right? You'll never get the house if you don't ever think about it. That's the crazy thing. So, because you won't access the being, it's not even the doing, it's the being of who you need to be, where you no longer, because if you think about it this way too, this is the other concept. Typically, when I have people that come in to coach training, whatever money that they've been making in their career is very easy for them to repeat.
Yeah.
Even though it's a completely different career.
Yep.
Like, if they come in making 100, they're going to make 100 pretty quick.
Totally.
If they come in making 200, it's like, oh, 200 is who I am already.
Right. Yeah.
And it's crazy totally because like that. For you, you're already making what, $60,000 or whatever. Someone else coming in that maybe hasn't worked ever. Maybe they've been a stay-at-home mom. They never really had a job like that. $10,000 is extraordinary to them.
Right.
Is it the industry? Is it getting clients? Is it who you are? No, it's who you are being and what you will accept for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what I recommend for you at the million. And just notice, like, if you try to sabotage yourself, we're going to talk about this next week, but it's like, if you're trying to sabotage yourself, you're trying to make it so you're not that person. That's just normal, right? Because your identity, your brain wants your identity to stay the same because it feels safe. And when you think about yourself at $1 million and you're making all this extra money, all of a sudden you don't really know who you are anymore.
Yeah.
But here's the secret. And this is so, I can't emphasize this enough because I think it seems like this kind of out of mind, like, does that really work kind of thing? You have to be her now. So when the money comes, you're not like, oh my God, spend it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can so feel that. Like if I had been in the place where I was ready to receive it. Right. So I work with academics and, they talk about this a lot. When they get their PhD, it's like, it doesn't feel like a big deal anymore.
Yes.
Right. Cause it's like, they're already there. They're already like way into the next thing. And so I get that. And then it's like, so building that and putting it into place, like as you go, is the way to be able to be more accepting of it when it comes, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And I think part of that is like when you're working on a PhD, you're constantly talking about, I'm a PhD candidate. I'm working on my PhD. I'm a PhD. You're not there yet. It's like me. I'm going to make $100 million. I'm going to make $100 million. So by the time you do, you've been talking about it so much. You're not like, you don't hear people in academia like, well, I'm working on my PhD, but I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if I should do it. I should probably just give up. I mean, is it even something that I could do? Right. It's just like, oh no, this is what I'm working towards. This is what will happen.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
So the $1 million goal is easier in the sense that it's further away and a lot bigger, but it's also easier in the sense that it's more difficult in the sense to identify yourself that way.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Once you do, then all of a sudden the clarity around what to do and how to feel and when to do it just becomes so much more simple.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure.
So I think part of what comes up for me in those moments is the, like in identifying with that person is my future self.
Yeah.
Let's do this. So is the responsibility. So, like I just know that, some of my thought patterns that I work on are like that I won't be able to handle it is the limiting belief. And so my counter to that is I get to decide about everything. But really,
you may not be able to handle it. Let's talk about it. Like, what if maybe you won't be able to handle it, that at least you'll know.
Oh, I love that.
You'd be like, wow, I was right about that. I couldn't handle it. But let's not just guess.
Right. Oh my gosh, you just rocked my world. I think I'm going to cry.
That's it.
Yeah, right. Because it's just a belief, right? So why not believe something else until I actually know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I always give myself, like, I try to work with my brain instead of hardcore against it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, girl, maybe you can't handle it, but we'll know when we get there. And if you can't handle it, you don't have to do it anymore.
I can always go back to writing grants.
You can always go back to writing grants. All right, my friend, let's get someone else on here.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
All right, who's next? Let's do Jane. Up, Jane? Oh, I can't hear you or see you. You have to unmute yourself and show your video.
Okay, sorry about that.
There we go. Okay.
Well, first, Happy New Year and congratulations on your 50 million. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So that was great what Melissa just said, because as you were talking with her, because when I passed the bar the first time, I went,
yeah.
Okay. And I looked back on that, like, was there something wrong with me that I can't enjoy these milestones? Mm. Like, is that a part that just you keep driving? But you've just given me a new way of looking at it. This wasn't my question, but that it's okay to just be like, good.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel that way with the 50 million?
You know, what's so interesting is, I don't know if it was the 50 million or the 50 years old or what, but like, I've had just this profound, like, shift in how I see myself in the world. Like, there is like this sense of knowing that, like, you can create anything you want. Like, $50 million is a ridiculous amount of money. Like, you can't fake that. You can't, like, that's not a fluke. Like, that is, I set out to do that and did that. Like, oh, hell yeah. So for me, it's not like, it's not like, oh my God, I won the lottery. It's not that feeling at all, but it's just kind of like this reconfirming of my own identity, but not just for me, but for like humanity. Like, that's how I feel, like, oh, this is a thing. Like, we're not just playing around here. We're not just doing law of attraction to get a pen. Like, this is legit. So, but there are other accomplishments that I've had that just felt like, and here we are. And
here we are.
We did. And yeah, exactly.
So maybe a combination. Yeah. That's, okay. So no, that was helpful. So thank you. And so here's my question. All of Myron, as a nod to Myron Golden, my question is, if, as you talked earlier about we customize ourselves, you use that term, right? You know, that's what's unique within us. So as you, and let me just look at my notes, that how our creative mind produces value in the world, how do we pull that out of ourselves to deliver to the world, assuming we've developed the value within us and we know we can be valuable to people? But how did you go about delivering your value,
I would say the answer to that is, first and foremost, believing that it's within you, because I would ask myself questions and my initial answer would always be, I don't know. Right? I don't know how to do that. I don't know. If I knew how to do that, I'd already do it. And when I eliminated that from my vocabulary and I just said, you know, Brooke, how do you make, to my future self, how do you make $100 million? How do you create, how do you help people stop doing this? How do you help people feel better about this? How do you help people stop doing this thing? So, like, for example, today I was walking, I'm in Hawaii and there's a beach, and I was watching a woman walk down the beach, and I was watching another woman watch her, right? I was watching this happen, and I was watching this woman compare herself to her right in front of my eyes. And I said to myself, like, we compare ourselves to other people and it ends up hurting us. And so in my mind, I'm like, how do we stop comparing ourselves in a way that hurts us? Right? That was just, this is what happens for podcast topics for me. I don't know that I know the answer, but I'm going to ask myself the question, how do we stop doing that, Brooke? As if I do know the answer. And what happens is I do know the answer and I trust myself to know the answer. And so I sit down with my journal and I write the answer down, and then I create a podcast for you. Now, I could tell myself I don't have that knowledge. I don't know how to access it. I don't know how to create that value. And it would block me from being able to help so many people. So I would say, to answer your question, like, you have to believe that you have answers that you may not have believed that you had.
And what's interesting about your answer is you kept asking how questions, which is sort of the one thing we're not supposed to ask, I thought. You know, in other words, it's the what, right? But in this case, it's how.
The how is, how do I make all this money?
Yeah.
Right. Is not, you don't need to know the how you're going to do that, but you need to know, how am I going to create value? You have to know the how of how you're going to create value today. How am I going to create an offer today? How am I going to ask for money today? Of course you have to know the how of that. You don't have to have the big fat how answer, but you do have to have the small next piece of, how am I going to start a business? How am I going to create value? How am I going to find customers? Like, that stuff in this moment, you have to be able to answer and trust that you do have the answer. Now, you can ask your future self, how do I make $100 million? I just don't find it as useful of a question as, what do I need to do today in order to have $100 million in 5 years?
Mm-hmm. And this how that you're asking today, forget the money for the future, but
yeah,
the two ladies on the beach, etc. You're asking that of your current self. I guess you could ask your future self too, yeah, she thinks, right? But you're asking of what's inside of you, and that's what pulls it out,
yeah,
to then share with the world. Am I got that right? Do I have that?
Yeah,
right?
Totally. And yeah, listen, you have so much more wisdom within you. As you practice accessing your wisdom, you recognize that you have so much more in you than you recognize, because we're so used to going out into the world and pulling inputs in,
right,
instead of asking our own selves,
yeah,
to do outputs for ourselves and for our customers.
And so we really have to be able to sit with ourselves to answer those questions, right?
Yeah.
No buffering, no distractions.
And we have to believe that our answers matter, and we have to be curious what our answers are, and we have to, you know, I see a lot of people trying to research before they access their own wisdom. I always say, access your own wisdom first, then research.
Very wise. Thank you so much.
Create value. And that's what will make your value different than mine.
Because the customizable part, right? The customized, yes, part. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. That's
and cool. I think this is so important. You know, the whole theme of this course is that you're creating value and putting it out into the world, and it's coming back to you. And we can leverage value from all of our experiences, from all of our knowledge, from all of our other inputs. But what will make your value unique is you. No one can compete with you on what you have to offer, the way you put a combination together and present it to the world. No one can compete. And I love that feeling. Like, and it's like, if you don't offer it, we don't get it. It's crazy, right? So beautiful. Good. So trust that you have that within you.
Thank you so much, Brooke.
All right,
thank
my
you.
Friend. Okay. Let's see what we have. Will you please talk about allowing versus controlling the energy? I'm working on my business and I'm obsessed. Okay, this is a good question from Leslie. Controlling, trying to control the world, trying to control our customers, trying to control everything else comes from fear, right? It comes from this thing, like, if we can't control everything, then everything's out of control. Versus coming from a place of creation and allowing, right? And here's the difference. When you have fear that things aren't going to work out, or you have fear that you're not going to benefit, or you have fear that you don't have enough to offer, that's when you try to control everything. But when you believe in yourself and in your knowledge and in your future and in your past and in your present, you can be in the space of allowing. So I give this example a lot, but I don't know that people really grasp it because it's life-changing. This is one of the things that changed it. If you believe in your future self, like I do, my future girl, she got 100 million. No doubt. I believe in her. I don't need to freak out. I don't need to doubt. I don't need to control the world. I don't need, whenever I feel that sense of control, it's because I've lost my faith in my future. I've lost my faith in my future self. I've lost the belief. And so I go to her and she says to me, girl, relax. Stop trying to control the universe. It's all going to be fine. You get here soon enough. Keep working, right? What would your future self? Keep working, keep focusing, keep researching, get that team put together, do the best you can to offer the most value you can to your clients and to the world. And I will be here when you get here. We will be one. We already are one. We're just accessing the mental construct separately so we can access our own wisdom. That is how we do it. You don't need to control it. You don't need to know the how. You don't need to be freaked out. You don't need a lot of other knowledge. You need to access yourself. What do you have to offer? And do you believe in the value that you're creating? Because if you believe in the value you're creating, there's no way that doesn't come back to you with money. The value that you put out, you ask the right people who need the value that you're offering to be your clients. They will pay you. That is the magic of this. Okay, my friends, next week, I think it's actually on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about how to prevent the imposter syndrome, how to get through those upper limit issues, how to literally allow yourself to be rich. It seems like it should be easy to allow yourself to be rich. It's not. I'm going to teach you exactly how to do it so you can create whatever it is you want in this life. Have a beautiful, gorgeous week. Let me see if I can show you guys. It's my view. What? I'm going to be enjoying Hawaii, and I will see you all on Tuesday. Take care, everyone. Bye.